Today's Shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sotu. We just began this Masechta yesterday, and we're up to Daf Gimel today. We're learning Le'ilui Nishmas Hyman Morgenstern, Chaim Tzvi ben Moshe Dov. All the Nishons we learn from have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin Gimel and Aleph, four lines from the top with the words Tanya. We learned in the following braisa, so Hayy Rabbi Rome, Rabbi used to say, Adam Over Aveira Baseiser, Viakodish Baruch Hu Machriz Olav Begalui. A person would go do a sin privately, Baseiser, hidden away. So as Rashi tells us, Adam Over Aveira, Kigon Isha Perutza, for example, a woman who was promiscuous, Overis Baseiser, she does all of her Averas in private, without being in the public eye. However, Vakodesh Baruch Hu would eventually make sure Machmas Lobegoli, make sure that everybody knew about it. And that's what Rashi tells us. The next Rashi, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Machmas Begoli, Shinosein Belev Bala Likanos. Lo HaKodesh Baruch Hu puts into the husband the idea to go and warn her. V'hadov V'misfarsein Begoli. And therefore, everybody else knows about it because he does this in front of two witnesses, and therefore it becomes public knowledge. So therefore, her private transgressions, HaKodesh Baruch Hu makes publicly aware. And this is based upon the pasuk where it says, "Shenemar the avar alof ruach kina." The pasuk by Sotu where it says that a spirit of kina, of jealousy, comes upon the husband, and he uses the lashon of the avar alof ruach kina. What does this mean? The avar, vein aveira el lashon hachrozo. The word aveira also has a double meaning, that it means that it was publicly announced. As Rashi tells us, that this means Lahavir kol, to go and raise the voice, to go and bring the voice about. And therefore, we see this from Shofar as well. In the Likutei Rashi, it brings down Havaras Shofar, like the Shofar sound blows and is proclaimed. So therefore, this V'Avar Alav Ruach Kina means it doesn't just pass over him, it means it passed over to all of Kai, so it was announced publicly. Similarly, Reish Lakish Amar, Ein Adam Over Aveira, Elo Imkein Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtos. Why does a person commit a sin? Rachman Litzlan, it's because something came over him, a Ruach Shtos, a moment of silliness, of lightheadedness, of stupidity comes upon a person. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ish Ish Ki Siste Ishto is the way we pronounce it. If Rachman Litzlan, a man's wife goes Nebuch and commits this Aveira, she becomes a Sota. So we pronounce the word Ki Siste, that's how we have the Mesorah to go and pronounce the word, but in the Torah it doesn't have dots, and therefore it could also be pronounced ki sishte ishto, and shtus, a ruach shtus, came upon this woman. Ki sishte ksiv. It could also be pronounced sishte, not siste. Okay, Gemara continues, says, Tony Rabbi Shmuel, learn the base Spanish of Rabbi Shmuel, mipnei ma'amina Torah eidecha b'soto. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, break the rules? Normally, we require two Edim for all sorts of testimony, as we brought down the famous Xerishava, Dover, that we always require two witnesses, two adult males above the age of 13, in order to provide monetary or Isurim types of testimony. So, in this situation, however, it says, Ve'ed Ein Baz, we darshan yesterday, it says, even a single witness is believed in the situation to say that the woman can no longer live with her husband. Now, this is only after Kinui and Stira. If a single witness comes along and says a woman, Rechmona Litzlan, committed an infidelity, that doesn't change anything. But once you've had Kinui and Stira, so then a single witness can answer the woman to her husband. She can't drink the Meisota, and this woman will not be able to live with her husband. So why is that? So the Gemara answers, Sheraglayim L'dover, because we have, unfortunately, in this situation, legs to stand on. Shenitme, says Rashi, says, we unfortunately had Kinui and Stira, so there is certainly a concern that the husband already had with this man, and now a single witness comes along, so he is believed. Because Shari Kina law, in Istra, because the husband wore the dot to closet herself with this guy, and she went to closet herself with a guy. And therefore, the Eidechot Me'ido Shitme, and therefore, the Torah allows a single witness in this situation to forbid her to her husband. Now, this Raglayim L'dover seems to be out of order, however, because the Pasuk in the Torah actually first says, as Amalei Rapapa Abaya, Rapapa says to Abaya, the Pesukim are out of order. V'haki Ksiv O'Kinoi, the warning that the husband gives to the wife, the kinoi, is written after Basar Stira Vituma Hu Dechsiva. It's actually written out of order. First, the Torah tells us, don't closet yourself away. And if you do, become Tommy then, you're going to be also to your husband. And only afterwards, in the next pasuk, does it say, and the husband warned his wife not to closet herself away. So, the order is wrong. Kinoi should come before Stira and Tuma, certainly, in order for this process of the Sota to work, that a single aid should be believed. So that's what Rav Papa says to Abai. So Abai responds back to him on the lay. Abai says to him, no, the word the ovar, so ukvar ovar, that implies that previously there already had been this warning, this kinui from the husband to the wife. So where says, you're telling me the ovar means that it previously happened. So then let's look elsewhere. We have the word the ovar, el miato. In regards to what it says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Shevet of Reuven, God, the Chatzir Menashe, the Ovar Lochem Kol Chalutz. That's talking about the future. You will go ahead of Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and do the Kibush and Chilutz of Eretz Yisrael before you return back to the Eber HaYardei. Now it says there, the Ovar Lochem Kol Chalutz. Every one of you will go. Are you telling me the Ovar means everybody already went? Hachanami? That doesn't make any sense. So how can you tell me over here in our Pasuk by Sota, the Ovar means it already happened, but we see the word for Ovar in regards to the Kibush and Chiluk of Eretz Yisrael. How can you tell me that it means there in the future? Seems to be the same word, V'ovar. How can it mean one time in the past, one time in the future? The word says, no, that's exactly true. It goes by the context. Hasam, in regards to the Shevet of Reuven, God, the Chatzis, Shevet, Menashe, Midasiv, the Pasuk says, V'nich b'shoh ha'aretz, you will conquer the land, L'fnei Hashem, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the Achar Toshuvu, and then you'll come back home. So obviously, Mashma Delabot, the word in that situation, V'ovar lochem, kol chalutz, clearly means in the future. But here by the Sota, it says, Elohacha, where it says, the Ovar Alov Ruach Kina, so then Mashma, in this situation, it must be in the past. Isol Kedai Toch Kiddich Sivi, if you're telling me it means in the future, so it doesn't make any sense. The Ovar Bosar Tumas Tira, he warns her after she's already committed the crime, she closeted herself away, and she, Rachmon al-Islam, committed an act of Tumas, she was promiscuous. So, Kiri Lomeli, it doesn't make any sense. So, clearly, you go by the context. In the case with Reuven, God, and Chatzis Shevet Menashe, he clearly is talking about the future. And here, in the case with the Sota, obviously means that he previously, the Ovar, means he had already warned her before the Stira and Rechmon Olitzlan, the Tumah. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, the learning that they had in the base of Rabbi Shmuel, Ein Adam Mekane Liyishto El Imke Nichlin Sabo Ruach. It says that a man is only going to warn his wife when he has some sort of a ruach coming into him, certain type of idea came into him. Shenema, because the pasuk says, but over all of ruach kinah, the kineis ishto, something came about into him. A ruach kinah came into him, and he therefore decided to warn his wife. So, what exactly is this ruach kinah? What is this ruach that comes into him? Ainu the mekane leishto elam ki nichlas abo ruach. What type of ruach comes into him? My ruach. So, rabbanan amrei. Now, here Rashi points out the rabbanan is not used in the normal sense. Normally, the rabbanan is talking about the tanoim. Here Rashi tells us the Rabbanan or Devei Ravashi. Ravashi, Ravina Ravashi, were at the very end of the redaction of the Talmud Bavli. So they were the end of the Amoraim period of time. So here the Rabbanan is a reference to the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash of Ravashi at the conclusion of the Gemara. And they say, their opinion is that it's a Ruach Tumah, that there was some sort of a impurity that came into his head, a Ruach Tumah, and this Ruach Tumah caused the man to go and warn his wife. Why is it called a Ruach Tumah? Because it's going to lead to all sorts of trouble. Unfortunately, when a man warns his wife not to do something, so already this trouble in marriage, they should seek out ways to solve their problems rather than to have this ruach tumah enter into his mind to go make things worse. Rav Ashi himself, however, told the Talmidim, no, it's ruach tara. Rav Ashi a ruach tara. This is a ruach of Sonei Esapritzus, Rashi tells us. In other words, it's because of his hatred for the potential Rechmon al-Islam promiscuity that his wife is displaying. So a Ruach Tara, a holiness, came into him, and he said, I better forewarn my wife in this fashion. Umistavro kimandom a Ruach Tara. And Rav Ashi's interpretation that it's a Ruach Tara rather than a Ruach Tumah makes more sense, based upon the following brisa, the title. We learn the brisa, V'kinei es ishto rishus. It's a famous machlokes between Divrei Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael says that there is no obligation, there is no chova for a person to go and to be mekane his wife. If he thinks that she's acting inappropriately, he's allowed to go and do the kinui process and warn his wife, don't be alone with your uncle. However, it's a rishus, it's his option. If he thinks this is the only way to solve the problem, fine, you're allowed to do this. But if there are other ways to solve the problem, you're not mechuyev to go and do kinui. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, Omer, no, chova. When you have this problem, Rabbi Akiva says it's an obligation upon the husband to go and tell his wife, don't be alone with that man. And this is a fundamental, we'll see, we'll have three machlokas like this between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva as to whether something is allowable but not a chiyuv, or that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, or Rabbi Akiva's opinion that it's a chiyuv to do so. This is the first of the three cases. We'll see the other two cases in a moment, but here we're trying to bring proof to Rav Ashi that it's a ruach of Tahara that came into the person to do kinui to his wife. So if you hold Iyamis Bishlam Ruach Tahara, if you hold like Ravashi that this is Ruach Tahara, we can understand why Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva having a machlokes, shapir. It makes sense. One of them could say, yes, this Ruach Tahara came in, but it doesn't obligate the person to go and be Makani his wife, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel says, you're allowed to, but you're not mechuyev to. Whereas Rabbi Kiva says, no, this Ruach Tahara that comes into you is a chiv that you have to go and be mekani your wife. Oh, we can understand the machlokas to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva very well if it's a Ruach Tahara. Ella, yamas Ruach Toma, but if you saw it like the Beis Medrash of Ravashi, Talmid the Beis Medrash said that it's a Ruach Toma that came into her, how do you understand the machlokas to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva? Rishus v'chova, la lule l'inish, Ruach Toma ben Ashei? Could it be an obligation somehow that the person should have this Ruach Toma come into him? Doesn't make any sense if you say that it's a Ruach Tumah, that there should be a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, the support to Ravashi comes from the fact that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. No, once we mention this machlokes, we'll mention the other two places where we have similar machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So if Gufo, first we repeat the first machlokes that we just said, Bikine Sisto Rishus, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Chova. Fine, that was the first machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, obligation or not. Or just permissible. Rabbi Kiva says obligation, Rabbi Shmuel says permissible. The second such machlokis is the pasuk tells us that a kohen is allowed or obligated to be metami to the Zayin Krovim. A regular kohen is not allowed to be metami to a smase. However, there is an exception when Rachmana Luslan loses one of the Zayin Krovim. He loses Rachmana Luslan, his father's mother, a brother, a sister, a son or a daughter, or Rachman Islam, a spouse. In all of these situations, the coin is allowed to, regular coin, not the coin gadol, a regular coin is allowed to go be metame tumas mace with them. The pasuk says, lo yitama, to her, he is allowed to go and be metame. Now, Divri Rabbi Shmuel says that this is a reshus. Lo yitama means he's allowed to, the coin is allowed to, but if somebody else is taking care of all of the funeral arrangements and he doesn't have to be metame, so Rabbi Shmuel says, you're not mechuyev to be metame. It's a reshus to be metame, but not mechuyev to. Dear Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva disagrees, Rabbi Kiva omer chova. No, you're obligated to go and be metame for these Zayin Krovim. That's the second of the three. The third machlokas is lo olam bohem ta'avodu. Whether a person is allowed to go in free, an Eved Kenani, is this machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The pasuk says, you shall always, la'olam, forever, you should go work them. And that's, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is a reshus. Divi Rabbi Shmuel says that if you wish to, you're allowed to work them forever, but if you wish to go and free them, person has the right to go and free an Eved Kenani. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. It's a permission to go work them forever, but you have the right to go free them. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva, the pasuk says, la'olam em tavod, means it's a chiv, chova. You're not allowed to go free an Eved Kenani. Now, so we have three machlokas over here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So Amalei Rapapa Labayi, either it was Rapapa who then questioned Abayi, or if Amalei was Misharsha who questioned L'Rava, whoever it was that asked the question said, why? What are you telling me over here? Leimar, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, B'chol Torah Kula, Hachi Pligi? It seems from this that, like you have these three machlokas over here, it seems that every single mitzvah that the Torah gives us, Rabbi Shmuel says, yeah, if you want to do it, you can, but you're not obligated to do so. And Rabbi Kiva says, it's a chiyuv. Are you telling me, really? Is this the correct understanding that Rabbi Shmuel says, in all situations where the Torah writes a mitzvah, it's an option. If you wish to do it, you can. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Is this a principle? These three cases is like a binyanav for the rest of the Torah, where the Torah says to put on tefillin. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it's a nice idea. If you want it, you can. If you don't want it, it's a rishus. And Rabbi Kiva says, it's a chova? That can't possibly be. So that's the question that Rav Papa asked to Abayi, or Rav Shashi asked to Rava. So either Abayi responds now to Rav Papa, or Rava responds to Rav Shashi, and he says, Omar Lei, he said to him back, Hocha Bikroi Pligi. No, it's these three and only these three, but there's a machlokas, you know, Rishu is saying it's a Rishus, and Rabbi Kiva says Chobah. But obviously, throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, every time it says it to a mitzvah, everybody says it's an obligation, and it's not a Rishus. And in these three, they're arguing about the specific psukim. Hocha Bikroi Pligi. What are the three scenarios? So we start off with the first of the three, with the Kinei Yisishto. So Rabbi Shmuel said that that's a Rishus, Bikini Yisishto, Rishus Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Kiva Omer Chovah. So what's the source of the machlokas over here in the Pesuk? In my time, Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel say that this is an option, that the husband has the right to go be Mekani Yisishto, but he doesn't have to? What's he basing it upon? So Sovar Law, Rabbi Shmuel holds, Ki Haitana, like the following opinion and the following price of the Tanya. The Rabbi Lez ben Yaakov Omer, Klape Shomer Torah, since the Torah writes, Rabbi Lez ben Yaakov says, since the Torah says, Lo sisno eso chicha bilvavecha, we have a prohibition to hate your brother, to hate other Yidden in your heart. So you don't have the allowance, it's not allowed to go and hate somebody. So I might have said, Yochel, Bechigon said that this would apply to a husband with his wife who's acting, in his opinion, in an inappropriate fashion. So you might have thought that he's not allowed to be Mekaniha, because that's Sisno Esachicha Belavecha. So you can't do that. Oh, you need a pasuk, Tamid Lomar. The Avar love Ruach Kina V'kineis Ishto. This Ruach, as we just said, this Ruach Tara comes into the person, and it causes him to go and be Mekani to his Ishto, to his wife. However, it's an option. You need this pasuk to allow you to do this, because you might have thought, Losisa Sechich Bavecha, you're not allowed to. So therefore, the pasuk says you're allowed to, but not that you are Mechuyev to. And that's how Rabbi Shmuel dashes up Sukkim. No, Rabbi Kiva, what does he do with this drasha? Seems to be that Rabbi Shmuel is correct. Rabbi Kiva says Sechova. He says, no, it says the word Kinoi twice there. Kinoi Achrino Ksiv. As Rashi tells us, in Dibur Masul Kinoi Achrino Ksiv, first it says, Ovar Allah of Ruach Kino of Kineis Ishto. That's one. And then the pasuk continues a little bit later on, Ovar Allah of Ruach Kino of Kineis Ishto Vilo Nitmah. So you have either Nitmah or Vilo Nitmah. It repeats it. So from the fact that it repeats it twice, so the first time is to tell you that there's no problem with Lo Sista Sechicha, and the second time is to tell you that it's a chovah to do so. Oh, Rabbi Kiva is very good. No, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that? Rabbi Shmuel, why does it say the second time, V'kineis Ishto? Once would have been enough. So Mora tells us, Rabbi Shmuel tells us, I did the boy lemichta v'hi nitma, v'hi lo nitma. The pasuk first had to tell us, v'kineis ishto, v'hi nitma. And then it had to tell us, v'kineis ishto, v'hi lo nitma. So since it has to tell it to us twice, because it had to teach us the idea, whether she was tamei or whether she wasn't tamei, so, ksiv nami, v'kineis ishto, the second time, look at the Tanna of the Rabbi Shmuel. And this is a very basic principle that in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught us. Rabbi Shmuel obviously was the progenitor of this idea. The Tanna of the Rabbi Shmuel, they learned the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel from Rabbi Shmuel. Called Parisha Shenemra Vinishtis. When you repeat something, so every single thing that you're repeating isn't always a Chiddush. You're only repeating it, Lo Nishtis Ela Bishul Dovosh Nischadish Ba. So you're repeating it over here because of the Hilo Nitma. But once you're ready repeating that, so then it will repeat again, V'arva lov ruach kino v'kineis ishto, the second time, even though the chiddush is for v'hi lo nitma. So that's a stylistic way that the Torah sometimes does something. When it repeats something for the chiddush, so it repeats more than just the chiddush itself, it will often repeat the same thing. And we'll see this answer from Mishmol in all three of the terutzim that we bring down over here to explain the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva for these three ideas, chova versus rishus. Okay, so that's the first one. V'kineis ishto, we now understand. The second one was that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Kohen is allowed to be metami to the Zayin Krovim, not mechuyev to. Rabbi Kiva says he's mechuyev to. Lo yitamah, when the pasuk says that the Kohen can be metami, so Rishus according to Rabbi Shmuel, to Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Kiva omer chova. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's an obligation. So again, what's the rationale? What's the source of the tzmach locus? My time to Rabbi Shmuel, why does Rabbi Shmuel say that it's a Rishus, but you're not mechuyev to? So again, he brings down the pasuk. I did the siv. The pasuk tells us, and more like Kohenim b'nei Aron v'yomarto liyem, l'nefesh lo yitamor b'yamov. It says that you're not allowed to go be metami to a dead body that's not one of your relatives, one of the Rechokim, so therefore it's Tricha L'Mirtav, Lo Yitamah. So therefore you need a pasuk to tell us, but to the relative, to the Zayin Krovim, you are allowed to. Nope, that's what Rishmo's reasoning says, teaching us that it's not also to be metamei to the Zayin Krovim, but Lav Davka, that it's a Chiyuv. It's a Rishus. That's what Rishmo's understanding. No, Rabbi Kiva, what does he do with that? So Rabbi Kiva says, look at the next pasuk. It says, Me Ki Im L'Shero Nafka. He says, I learned that you're allowed to be metamei from the next pasuk, which says, only to your relatives are you allowed to be metame. So I already know that you're allowed to be metame to Zayin Krovim. Why did it say lo yitamah, lo mali? Oh, that's to repeat it, is to teach me lechova, that not only can you be metame to Zayin Krovim, but you must be metame to the Zayin Krovim. No, that was very good. What does Rabbi Shmuel do with that? Why do we repeat it? It says kim l'sheiro, and it says lo yitamah. What does Rabbi Shmuel do with the double lashon? So the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Shmuel could have said just the word lo, metame. You're allowed to be metame to the entire person. Law metame. However, vein metame le'evorel. But Rechmon al-Islan, if there was one of her limbs that was cut off, you would not be allowed to be metame to just that limb. So that's why Rishmo says it has to repeat itself, because law yitamah means it has to be to the entire body. You're allowed to be metame. A rishus, not a chova. That's why Rishmo says you need to repeat the word law yitamah. No, this is a good drasha. We turn to Gimel Beis. Rabbi Kiva, how does he learn that out? So Rabbi Kiva, he says, if that was what the Torah wanted to teach us, im kain, so don't say anything. Lichta rachmona la v'lishtok. You don't have to say la yitamah. Just say la to her, and I would know it means yitamah. The X word yitamah, la mali, that's shema mina, to teach me that it's a chova to be metame to her. You're right. You're only allowed to be metame to the entire body. However, law Yitama tells you that it's a chomva and not a rishus. No, that's very good. What does Rishmol do with that? So Rishmol, so I did the cause of law. It did have to teach us law to teach us that you're not allowed to be mitame except to the entire body. You can't be mitame to just an aver echad. So therefore, once it had to write law, so it can. Gesundheit, it tells us Yitama as well. Class of Nami Yitama, this again is the principle of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tani Rabbi Dei Rabbi Shmuel, the Tani Rabbi Shmuel, the learned the Spanish Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel taught us, Kol Parasho Shenem Rabbi Nishnes, Lo Nishnes Ela Bishvil Dovar Shenis Chadish Ba, that the Torah will frequently do something like this. They wanted to teach us the Chiddush, that law only to the woman herself, to the entire body, but not to Evarim, not to Rachman Aslan, a detached limb. That you're not allowed to be mitame. So once it had to teach us law, so it throws in the word yitama as well, because of this idea that when a parsha has to be repeated because of the chiddush in it, so you'll repeat not only the chiddush, you'll say not only the chiddush, but you'll also repeat the words that were a little bit extra. Okay, that's the second of the three machlokesim between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. No, the third one, it said, are you or are you not allowed to go and free an Eved Kanani? So Rabbi Shmuel says, you're allowed to if you wish to. You're not mechuyev to work them forever. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's a chiv. You have to work them forever. You're not allowed to free them. So, lo lehem tabodu rishus de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva mechova. Again, what's the rationale between this machlokes? My time of the Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say that it's a rishus? Why does Rabbi Kiva say it's a chova? So, we first answer for Rabbi Shmuel. I did the chiv. The pasuk says, lo sechaya kol neshama. You're not allowed to go and leave any of the Zayin Ummos in Eretz Yisrael alive. We gave them a chance to leave, but once they decided to stay and fight, so then we have an obligation, lo sechaya kol neshama, don't leave any of them alive. Now, it's rechnami lemichtav lo'olam hem tavodu. Now, if we're not allowed to leave any of them alive, so how do you have the din of lo'olam hem tavodu? You should go and work them. So that must be in a situation where you have one of the husband-wife from the Zayin Ummos, and the other one is not from the Zayin Ummos. So here, Lemishrei Echad Mikol Ummos, you have one of them coming from a non-Zayin Ummos nation, not one of the seven indigent populations of Eretz Yisrael, Shebaal HaKnanis V'Holim Menaben, and he has relations with a woman who comes from the Zayin Ummos, and they have a son. In that situation, Shato Rashai Liknoso, that child, which is a half-breed, so to say, his mother is from the Zayin Ummos, and the father is not. So in that situation, you're allowed to go and have him as a slave. No, if you wish to, you don't have to keep him as a slave. Lolom b'hem tavodu is a rishus. If you want to, you can, but you're not obligated to. The Tanya, as we learned, that this din applies in the following brisa. Minayin li'echa min ha'umos, she'abal ha'kinanis olim min ha'bein, shato rashai liknoso bi'eved. How do we know this din? The Brisa tells us that if the husband was not from the Zayin Ummos and the wife was from the Zayin Ummos and they had a child, that child you have the right to go and have as an Eved, Talmud Loma, because the pasuk teaches us, V'gam ibnei ha-toshavim ha-gorim yimuchem, mehem tiknu, because it says that anybody who's a toshav there, not from the Zayin Ummos, you are allowed to go and have as an Eved. So I might have thought, Yochol afa kanani, Shabbat lachas min ha-umos. I might have thought that if it was the other way around, that if the father was a kanani and he had relations with a woman from non-Zayin Ummos, the holy man of Ben, that this then would apply to them as well. Until now, we've been talking about where the mother was from the Zayin Ummos and the father was from a different area. Here we're now talking about that the father is from the Zayin Ummos, he's a Kanani, and the holy man of Ben, and he has a woman who's not from the Zayin Ummos, and he has a child with her, Shato Rashi Liknoso, you might have thought, also there, does it make a difference? No, it does make a difference. Talmud Lomar, the apostle says, Asher Holid Bi'aretzichem, it has to be somebody that was born in your land, in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Min HaNoladim Bi'aretzichem, from somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and that's only going to be if the mother is from the Zayin Ummos, because if the father is from the Zayin Ummos, they're going to go and live where the mother lives, outside the Zayin Ummos, and that wouldn't fulfill this idea, min ha'lodim yatzuchem, below min ha'gorim yatzuchem, and not from people that are just living there, but don't really belong there. So you go determine that by the mother. If the mother was a Kanani, so then this din applies that you're allowed to go have them as an Eved Kanani. However, if the father was the Kanani, then you're not allowed to go have them as an Eved Kanani. So therefore, that's why you need the extra words, according to Rabbi Yishmael, to teach us this din. No, how does Rabbi Kiva learn this din? Rabbi Kiva, doesn't he learn this din as well? So the Gemara says, no. He says, me from the pasuk, mehem tiknu, nafka. I learned that out from mehem tiknu. That teaches us this din, that if the mother is a Kanani, and the father is not from the Zayin Umros, then you're allowed to go and have them as a slave. Le'olam behem tavodu, therefore it's extra. Lomali, what do I need that for? Oh, to teach you that it's a chova. Le'olam behem tavodu, and not a rishus, like Rabbi Shmuel says. No, this is a good drasha of Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Shmuel do with this drasha? Mehem tiknu, Rabbi Shmuel, he says, bohem v'lo b'achechem. This pasuk teaches us, in them you're allowed to go do this, but not b'achechem. In other words, with the Eved Kanani, you can go and work them, but not with an Eved Ivri. Ah, that's what he uses the words for. Mehem tiknu, from them. In other words, only with the Kanani can you go work them, but not with the Eved Ivri. No, that's a good drasha. What does Rabbi Akiva do with that drasha? Rabbi Akiva, he says, no. B'acheichem, misevet the kodnafka. That I already knew, that you have to treat an Eved Kanani different than an Eved Ivri from the end of the pasuk. It says, uva'acheichem b'nei Yisrael, ish b'achiv, lo siridem bo b'farach. You're not letting go and working very, very hard. So I already know that. And therefore, the words mehem tiknu, which is free to teach me that lo lemem tavodu is a chova. No, that's a very good drasha, Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Shmuel do with that drasha? Rabbi Shmuel, he says, again, the same answer we gave previously. I did the siv uviachechem. Since you have to teach me over here the end part that the Eved Ivri is not allowed to have such hard work put upon him, so siv nami bohem. So it also then adds the word unnecessarily bohem, because it had to teach us uviachechem. That was necessary. And therefore, a little ton of Rabbi Shmuel, we have the same principle that Rabbi Shmuel taught us already several times. The ton of Rabbi Shmuel, we learned this message of Rabbi Shmuel, called Parsha Shnemra, and Vinishtis Lo Nishtis El Bishul Dovosh Nistadish Bo. Since you had to teach us the word of Yachechem, so then it throws in the word bohem as well. And therefore, it is technically unnecessary, so therefore you could argue, why did the Torah write it? But since it had to write the necessary thing, so we often repeat the unnecessary thing there as well, and therefore we don't have the extra words to teach us that it's a chova, and that's the basis of the machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel says it's a rishus, and Rabbi Kiva says it's a chova. So these are the three, and the only three where we have this machlokas in Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, but call it Torah cool, if everything else, everybody agrees it's a chova. Okay, now the Gemara goes back and says, Amar Chizda, Chizda tells us, Zinusa Bedeisa, Rachmona Leslan, if there's nus in the house, if unfortunately there's infidelity in the house, it rots away the house. Kikarya, it is like a certain worm known as a karya that eats away at the sumsuma to the sesame seed that it's inside of. So the worm eats away at the foundation, at the insides of this sumsuma, the sesame seed, so too, Rachmona Leslan, infidelity in the house, eats away at the house. The wife is referred to as the Akeres Habayis. She's the foundation of the house. And Rechmon al-San, if there's infidelity there, it eats away, it rots away the foundation of the house. Similarly, Yom Ruchis, he said another statement, Tukfa Bevesa. If you have kas, Tukfa means anger. If you have kas in the house, it says, well, it's like kikarya lisumsuma. It's also like having this worm, as Rashi says, this tolas, shel sumsumin, ha'ochlason, that eats up this inside of this sesame seed. So this is also the way Tukfa, this kas, Rashi tells us, is going to eat away at the house as well. Rechmon al-San, it is anger, so it destroys the house. And the Gemara says, Idi v'idi v'itza, both of these references to the znus in the house and to the kas in the house is a specific reference to the woman. When Rav Chisda made his statements over here, he was specifically talking about infidelity by the woman and kas by the woman. Avo begabra. But if the man were to do these things, less lon but, it doesn't have the same ability to destroy the house. Why is that? So I thought, Lanias Dati, it's the husband, is not called the Akeres Habayis. He's not the foundation of the house. He's not the main part of the house. The wife is the main part of the house. So she is since the main part of the house. So therefore, Nebuch, there's more potential for destroying the house when the wife, Nebuch, it commits infidelity or gets angry. The husband is more peripheral. He's not as essential to the house. So that's what I thought. And I think this is substantiated by a Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin, where it tells us over there that a woman is considered more important than a man because the shame of a woman, Isha, has the Yud and the K in it, and a man only has the Yud, Ish. So therefore, the Ish, the potential fire, the result, if you remove the Yud and the hay, so that can lead to a bigger conflagration than just with a man who only has the yud, so to say. So I think essentially it's telling us that the woman is more of the Akeres Habayis. The woman is more responsible for it, more makes the Shalom Bayis in the house. She's the Akeres Habayis. And therefore, Rechmon al-Islam, she has more of the potential to destroy that Shalom Bayis in the house. Another statement that Rechista tells us, Rechista says, Vatchila called them Shechata Yisrael before Klai Yisrael did various Averos. So, Haiso Shechina Shorim Kolecha V'yechor. So then Klai Yisrael was Zochet to have the Shechina in every single house of Klai Yisrael, with every single person Klai Yisrael. As the Apostle says, Shneimar, Ki Hashem Elokecha Mishalich Bekerev Machanecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to say, walking Kaviyocho in our camp. However, Nebuch, Kivon Shechatu, when we unfortunately did various Averis, specifically referring to infidelity, Nistalko Shechina Mehem. So the Shechina says, I can't stand to be over here with this immorality. Shemam, V'lo Yira Becha, Ervaz Dovar, V'shov Be'acharecha. Kosh Baruch says, I can't stand to be with you when you're doing all of these Arayas, when you're doing Ervaz Dovar, you're doing these improprieties, I can't stand to be with you, V'shov Be'acharecha. And I have to go and turn away. As Rashi says, this is all referring to Kol Shechot Yisrael by Arayis. This is all referring to Arayis. And Rachmanu Litzlan, when Klai Yisrael did Arayis, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Deinu Yochol Liros B'Averos Shebevei. So I can't stand to see these Averos in your house. In other words, the infidelity. Another statement the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonason. This one is made not by Rav Chisda, but Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni in the name of Rav Yonason. Kolos a mitzvah achas bol mazeh. If a person does a single mitzvah in this world, it will herald him in the world to come. Mikad maso lo leches lefanov li'olam haba. It will herald him entering into the world to come. It's such an important idea. So Rashi says, Dibra maso mikad maso lefnei misaso. Before the person dies, machrezes lefanov. So to say, this will herald him in. This will announce him to the world to come. And this is based upon the pasuk Shneimar, that your righteousness will precede you, and therefore it will herald you into the world to come. And Rachmon al-Islam, the other way as well. If a person, Rachmon al-Islam, did an aver in this world, it will likewise herald him into the world to come. This will also precede him into the Yom HaDin. And this is also based upon the Pasuk Shneimar, Yilfasu Orchos Darkom Yalu Batohu V'Yoveidu. This pasuk from Iyov tells us that, Rachmon al-Islam, your sins will precede you, and you'll be lost there because of your sins. Rabbi Elazar Omer, he adds this, and he says, Kishura Bokekela, this Avera is attached to him like a dog. A dog attaches itself to its master, so this Avera will attach itself to you. Shenema, as the pasuk says, V'lo Shama Eleha, Lishkav Etzla Liosima. When the famous Maisa with Yosef and Potiphar's wife, she tries to seduce Yosef, and he pushes her away. And he says, I will not be with you. I will not listen to you to sleep with you. Lishkov etzla. And then it says the seemingly extra words, liosima. So what does that mean? So it tells us, lishkov etzla means bol mazeh. But he doesn't want it to herald into the world to the come. Liosima, liolam haba. That this Adera, this Eishes Potiphar, would, so to say, be attached to him like a dog, Kishur bo kekelev, in olam haba as well. Therefore, he refused to be with her in this world. Gemara continues and quotes a Mishnah that we learn on Daf Lamed Aleph. Nanos, we learn over there, Shoya Bedin, the halacha should be, Uma Edus Harishona Shein Osarta Yisroelam, Einam Iskayimus Bokos Mishnayim, just like the first testimony. In other words, the stira that the woman has to have two witnesses for the stira, so it's not enough to have one witness for the stira, at least according to the opinion of Yeshua, which is how we paskin, that you need the two witnesses for the stira, so therefore, and that's not an iser olam, that's just going to be a temporary iser until she would drink the me'amarim, so nevertheless, you need two witnesses, so certainly, edus achrona, the actual testimony about tuma, so certainly, one would have said, shosrosa iser olam, that forbids her forever to her husband, if she, in fact, was metama, so therefore, one would certainly say that that should definitely require two witnesses. That's an Isser Olam, so Eino Din should be a Kav Chomer, Shalot Eskai, B'Pachas Mishnayim. If Stira requires two, so Allah Has Kama B'Kama, the Tumah should require two. Oh, that's why we need the drush that we learned in yesterday's Talmud Lomar. The Pasuk tells us, the Eid Ein Ba, as we pointed out, Eid means two. There aren't two witnesses, the Eid Ein Ba, however, Kol Sheyesh Ba, but if there's one witness, so then it can go and make her usher to her husband. No. Now let's learn the Kav HaChomer the other way. The Kav HaChomer, the Eidus Rishonim Yatu. So let's learn out from Tumah, which is good by one. So certainly, Stira should be good by one. Because Uma Eidus Achrona, this Eidus about Tumah, we just said one witness is fine, which is an Isser Olam. She also told Isser Olam, she can never go back to her husband. Nevertheless, Miskayam has made Echad, one witness is enough. So let's learn the Kav HaChomer. So the Eidus Rishonim, the Stira, Sheino Sati Isser Olam, that's not a permanent Isser. So certainly, Eino Din, should this guy be an Echad? Certainly, only one witness should be good for that too. Talmud Lomar, we don't pasuk like that. The Gemara says because it says Kimotzo bo Erevaz Dover. There it says that she has to have Erevaz Dover. No, in order to ask a woman to a husband without kinu and stira, you need two witnesses to say that she was matama. So ma dover omer lahalu apishnei edim avkan apishnei edim. So therefore, you need two witnesses. You need the special pasuk in the Torah to say that edim, but the teaches that one witness is good by the tumah. After this kinui and stira, but without kinui and stira, one witness would be worthless. Now the Gemara says, "Hi, me kimotzu ba erevaz davar nafka." You're learning this out from erevaz davar, but me ba nafka. I thought we learned it out. Ba v'lo b'kinui, ba v'lo b'stira, ba v'lo b'kinui, ba v'lo b'stira. Me boile. That was how we darshened it out, not from this erevaz davar, from the davar davar. So what are you telling me? So the Gemara says, "You're right. You have to put them both together." Hachanami Kamar. This is what the Tana is telling us over here. Talmud Lomar Ba, the Ba teaches us, Ba v'lo b'kinui, Ba v'lo b'stira, that only in the case of Tuma is one witness going to aser to her husband after kinui and stira. But the kinui and stira, they have to be with two witnesses. At least that's the way Rabbi Yoshua Darshan did. However, in every other place, below kinui, below stira, when you didn't have kinui b'stira, you didn't have a rely on l'dover, then the lo mehemon eidechot. Then, as I pointed out, you need two witnesses under every other circumstance for arayis. Minolon, how do we know that? Because with this famous gzeirah shabbat, v'nemar kan kimotzu bo erevaz dover, v'nemar lahalon apishnayim eidim apishlosh eidim yakum dover. So we have ma dover amur lahalon eidim shnayim. So too avkan eidim shnayim. That's the general rule that you always need two eidim. And here, because you have the separate pasuk ba below the kinoi, ba below bistira, that tells us that only over here, after kinoi and stira, does one witness asa the woman to her husband because raglayim l'dover. Okay, the Gemara continues and tells us, Tanu Rabban, we learn the following braisa, Ezohi Eidus HaRishona. What exactly is this Eidus HaRishona that we just referred to? So I already explained, Zu Eidus Stira. That's the testimony in regards to the Stira. And what is the Eidus Achrona? That's the testimony, Zu Eidus Tuma, in regards to whether she was Metami or not. And we said, by the Eidus Rishona, you need two witnesses, and by the Eidus Achrona, even one witness from the Pasuk, Eid Ein Ba, teaches us that even one witness can answer to her husband. Now we turn to Dalit Omen Aleph, and what exactly the Kama Shir Stira? How long exactly is this Shir of Stira, where she closets herself away, that you require her to be closeted away? If a woman walks into a room and there's a man there, so she's there for 1 second, she quickly walks out of the room. Is that called Stira? Obviously not. So how long does the Stira have to be for them to be closeted away? So the Gemara is going to tell us in this Braisa several explanations. We actually have 9 different opinions over here that are brought down, but first we start off and say Kidei Tumah. It has to be as long for it to be Rahman al-Islam Kidei Tumah. And how much is that? What does it mean Kidei Tumah? It means Kidei Bia, that they have relations. And what does it mean to have relations? It means Kidei Ha-ra. Rashi tells us, there are different definitions. We'll have later in the Gemara 2 definitions. But here Rashi tells us, Kidei Ha-ra means, in the second line in the Rashi, it's at the very top, Dahainu Nishikas Ever Biosa Mokum, the genital touching from the man to the woman in that Mokum. That's called Ha-ra. And how long is that? Kidei Ha-kofas Dekel. The amount of time it takes you to walk around a palm tree, that is the first opinion that we have, Divri Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to give us 8 other opinions. Number 2, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kidei Mezikas Kos. The amount of time that this takes is Kidei Mezikas Kos. The amount of time that takes you to dilute the wine. Their wine came in a concentrated form. They have to dilute it, usually in a 2-to-1 ratio or a 3-to-1 ratio of water to wine. In any event, that's how long it takes to have the shear of tumor. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Number 2, Rabbi Shua, number 3, says Kidei Lishtoso. No, how long it takes you to drink this reveal of wine, that's the Kidei tumor. Number 4, Ben Azay Omer, Kidei Litzlos Beitza, the amount of time it takes you to go and roast an egg. His father-in-law, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Kidei Lugoma, to swallow it. Now, Tosus asks, why is Rabbi Akiva listed after his son-in-law, Ben Azay? Normally, Rabbi Akiva would be listed before Ben Azay, but here, only because of the order. Ben Azay said to roast the egg, and Rabbi Akiva says to eat the egg, so therefore, that's why Rabbi Akiva's opinion is listed after Ben Azay. No, that was number 5. Number 6, Rabbi Yehuda Meseir Omer, Kidei Ligmoa, Shalosh Beishim Zuachazu. The amount of time it takes you to go and swallow 3 eggs, one right after the other. Number 7, Rabbi Elazar Ben Yirmi Omer, Kidei Likshor Garde Nima. The amount of time that it takes for a weaver, the Gardi, Likshor Nima, to go and tie one string. Number 8, Chonin Ben Pinchas, he says, Kidei Shetoshit Yodo Lusoch Pia, Lito Kisam. The amount of time it takes a woman to go put her hand into her mouth and take a toothpick and go and remove something that's in between her teeth. And finally, number 9, Plimo. Plimo is a Tana. Omer, he said, Kidei Shetoshit Yodo Lasal Lito Kikar. The amount of time it takes a woman to stick her hand into a basket and take out a loaf of bread. Now, his shita, plimo shita, the amount of time it takes to put your hand into a bread basket and take out a loaf of bread, alpha pish ein rael dover, even though we have a clear cut proof to him, zech le dover. We have somewhat of a zecha to this, and that is ki bi ad isha zona, ad kikar lecha. By the juxtaposition of the pasuk talking about a woman who's a woman, rachmon l'san, of the night, a woman of ill repute, a zona, so it juxtaposes that with the kikar lecha, so therefore, there is some support to his idea that that's the shear of Tumah. So we have these nine ideas over here. And the Gemara says, why do you have such an introduction? We started off with the introduction. It said, V'kama shear stira, and then it says, K'day Tumah, and then it said, K'day Bia, then it said, K'day Ha'ara, and then it said, all the nine shitas. For example, it said, Rabbi Shmuel, K'day Ha'kov Ezdeko. Why do you have this long introduction? Just tell me the nine shitas. So Gemara says, Tzrichi, you need to tell me all of the details at the beginning for me to understand this. Why is that? Because the Tana, if you only told me Kidei Tumah, if you just said you have to be alone, closet together just for the Shear of Tumah, you know what I would have said? Havamina, Kidei Tumasa, the Artsusa. I would have said not only for the amount of time it takes to actually do Rahman al-San, the act of Bia, but also the amount of time it takes to facilitate this, so to say, to make her want to do this. So the Ritsui that would be involved would also be included in the shear. Therefore, Kamash Vallah, no, just Kidei Bia. That's why I had to say Kidei Tumah, meaning just Kidei Bia, without the prerequisite things that you have to do before to encourage the woman to want to do this Avera with you. So therefore, Kamash Vallah, Kidei Bia. I just tell me that Bia, Vitana Kidei Bia. You know what I said? Havamina, Kidei Gemar Bia. It's the entire act of Bia, not just the Ha'ara at the beginning. No, Kamash Rulan, it's just Kidei Ha'ara, just the initial act of Bia, that's the Shear of Tumah. You don't have to have the entire amount of time that it'll take to complete the act. And if you just told me that, V'yashmina Kidei Ha'ara, so that if you just told me that, I would have said, Hava Mina Kidei Ha'ara V'yartusa. Again, I would have said, it's the amount of time it takes to do just the initial act of Ha'ara, but also the amount of time that it takes to seduce the woman, to make a wish to do the Saveri with you. Kamash Walan, no, it's just the Kidei Tumah, the actual act of the Ha'ara itself. And then, the Kama Kidei Ha'ara, how long is this Ha'ara? So then, that tells me, Kidei Ha'kofas Dekel, that was the first opinion that we brought down, in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, the amount of time it takes to walk around the Dekel. Then we had the other eight opinions as well, they were all the Shear of Ha'ara. Now, we are in the middle of this discussion. We'll continue this more tomorrow. We already went almost halfway down, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. So, B'emet Hashem, we'll pick this up tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's Shear.